Welcome to the More Life Church podcast. We are always encouraged to know that God is working through this ministry to touch lives. So if you have a story to share of how God is working in your life, please let us know and send us an email to amen@morelifechurch.com. Now enjoy today's message.
Thank you guys for watching and worshiping with us. This is number three for me. And I'm just trying to take each one in individually. I seem to be especially emotional during this service. Before you get freaked out, I'm not the crying preacher, so it's going to be all right. But this is our last Easter weekend in this old gymnasium that we've converted into a worship space. And every moment in here leading up to this moment has been very sacred to me. And it's humbling to think that you all would come to this no-windowed, freaky-looking building to worship God with us. Because I know some of you have driven by here and thought, what do they do in there? Are they passing snakes around or what is going on? No snakes. We love you guys. Glad you all are here. And yeah, it's just kind of a humbling experience to be a part of this with you. Yesterday is my mama's legacy day, and 7 years ago yesterday she passed away, and tomorrow is my daughter's 17th birthday, and here sandwiched in between we have the celebration of the resurrection of Jesus, and this building has been overflowing all morning long. In fact, during this service, our overflow has overflow. And I don't know about you, but it might be good if we get that building done before next Easter. What do you think? All right? All right. All right. If you would, before we get into this, in your message notes, there's a card. I want to ask everybody right now, just interact with me and grab that card. Even if you're not going to take notes, even if this isn't where you normally attend, even if you don't ever plan on coming back, I want you to participate in this survey with me. It's anonymous, and it's simply just a question that I'd like to hear a message on what the Bible says about, and then we're going to ask you to fill in the blank. And the reason we do this is there's a couple reasons. First is every year we do a series based on question and answer. And so we survey people and we get their feedback, and we want to know what you want to know from Scripture, and then we do a series on it. We'll do it this fall. It'll be called You Asked For It, and the top 4 to 6 responses that we get today will begin to form the foundation for this message series. Somebody says, well, why in the world would you do it today? Because everybody shows up all at once, and so it's easy to get the information, and it's something that Jesus did in a different way, but many of his messages and his content came out of questions and his response to those questions. So if you have a question, want to know more about something, we want to help with that. So if you would, at the end of the service, when the offering bucket comes by, I'm going to ask everybody to fill that out. No name on it, no gimmick. Just want to know your feedback. If you put that in the offering bucket when it comes by, that would be awesome, and that will be helpful for us. So I appreciate that. We are in the middle of a message series called Four Cups. And they tell me not to do this. They say you shouldn't start in the middle of something because Easter should be a standalone and it should be separate and all by itself. And I have never really been good at following instructions. How many of you non-instruction following people are with me? Oh, you bunch of liars. Come on now. Like three of you were like, no. So I don't follow instructions very well. So we're just going to get you right in the middle, because here's the deal. I don't think that we should like put on some kind of special production on Easter. We just want you to see who we are as a church. We want to celebrate together in a normal way. I grew up in church and we would kind of do these special things and different things, and people would come and then they come back and they're like, well, that isn't what I signed up for. That's totally different. So I just want to show you who we are as a church. And a story that I can connect this to is one of my kids and I, we went out to lunch, and they chose hothead burrito. And I personally thought we could have done better than that, but that's what they wanted. So that's where we went. And while we were there, some music was on in the background. And the song Free Fallen by Tom Petty came on the speaker. And how many of you know who Tom Petty is? If you don't, you can Google them. All right, some of you are looking at me like real funny, like, I don't know if I'm allowed to admit that in this church or not. Free Fallen by Tom Petty was on. And I have a special connection with this song because when I was in high school, Tom Petty was not popular when I was in high school, but this song was popular to some degree. And we were, my senior year, my senior class was totally brilliant. I just happened to get lucky enough to be with the guys, and we were in physics. And we were in a Christian school, a private Christian school, and our science teacher was notorious for getting distracted by questions. So on test day, we would formulate a plan as a class as to who was going to derail the class so we didn't have to take the test if we weren't ready for it. Anybody else do that? Come on, somebody. So my friend, who is, he's now a surgeon, totally brilliant, he derailed the entire class with questions in the form of the lyrics of the song Free Fallen by Tom Petty in physics class, which was absolutely brilliant. So we're there I'm there with one of my kids. They'll remain anonymous for today. And the Free Fallen by Tom Petty came on, and they looked at me and they said, "Man, Dad, this guy ruined this song." I said, "What you mean?" He said, "This is terrible. This is a terrible cover of John Mayer's Free Fallen." The point that I want to make is, today may be a terrible cover of Easter for you, but it's all I've got. I'm going to give you my best. If you give me your best, it's going to be a little bit different than the normal Easter message. I'm going to make an assumption. You all have heard the story, a lot of parts of it. You're going to hear a little bit of it, but I want to do my own Easter Sunday. And it's built on this reality that 3,500 years ago, God made a promise to his people. And inside of each and every one of us, we may not understand why it's there, but there's a longing, there's a passion, there's a desire for something more than what we're experiencing right now in this life. In other words, you have a spiritual thirst, you have a spiritual hunger, because God made you a spiritual being, and you're on a spiritual journey, whether you know it or not. You have no option. I have no option. It's just the way we're wired to kind of explore and find out. And what I believe we're all being drawn to are these incredible promises that God made to a group of people while they were in captivity in Egypt. And when the Hebrew people were ready to make their exodus from the nation of Egypt, God gave them four promises. And in these promises, they would express it through a meal called Passover. And a part of Passover was four cups. And each of the cups symbolized a promise that God had made to them. So that's the genesis in the beginning of this idea of four cups. And so here's the verse in Exodus. If you're following along in your notes, I put them there too. "Therefore, God said, say to the Israelites," or to Moses, "say to the Israelites, I am the Lord." And here's the promises. You ready? "I will bring you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians. I will free you from being slaves to them. And I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with mighty acts of judgment. I will take you as my own people, and I will be your God. Then you will know that I am the Lord your God, who brought you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians." So let me give you the four promises. You can write them down real quick. I'm just going to cover one, and we're going to cover the next ones in the weeks to come. But there's four cups, and I'm going to talk about the names of these later. We're not going to dive real deep, all right? But the first one is the cup of sanctification. And this symbolized that God made a promise to us, and his promise to us was salvation. I'm going to come back and talk about that in a second. The second cup that they partook of was called the cup of deliverance. And sometimes people get freaked out by this word deliverance. And if you're a certain age category, the first thing you think of is, and that's not the kind of deliverance we're talking about. That's totally different. And if you don't know what that means, please don't go looking, because it'll weird you out, all right? And this is God's promise for us to experience freedom, right? So this is different. He says, "I'm going to bring you out, and then I'm going to free you." Somebody says, "Well, what's the difference? Aren't they the same?" Well, no, they left Egypt, but just because they left Egypt, that didn't mean Egypt left them. And the same thing is true for us. When we make a decision to follow God and leave things behind, it doesn't mean automatically everything comes detached from us. There are still some things that hook in our soul, stick in our heart, stick in our mind that we struggle with. And it's a constant journey to find freedom in different areas of our life. We're going to talk about that a lot next week, all right? The third one is the cup of redemption. I love this one. And when I talk about this in a few weeks, there's an incredible story that you're going to love. But this is God's promise to us to restore us, to bring us restoration. What's that mean? Here's what it means to me. It means God had an idea about you. He had an idea about me. He had an idea about your family. He had an idea about everything that you're walking through right now. He had a perfect original idea. And through circumstances of life, that plan gets derailed. And because of the derailing of that plan, God has to make a promise and do something. And here's what he promises. Every idea that I've ever had for your life, every plan, every purpose, every dream that I've given to you, if you let me, I'm going to bring it back to my original idea for you. Every idea God has ever had, he promises that he will then do this in the fourth step, in the fourth cup, through the cup of praise, he'll bring you fulfillment. He'll make you satisfied. He'll give you the peace and the joy and the life that you've been longing for. But there's a problem. There's a problem, and there's something that stands between us and these promises. And here was the first promise that God made. I'm going to bring you out from under the yoke. If you would, please, if you're taking notes, circle that word yoke for me. Circle that word in your notes. Circle it. It is an old school agricultural piece of equipment that was used to harness the power of beasts of burden. So an ox, a bull, something with strength. The owner could put this wooden contraption around the neck and shoulders of this beast, and it could make it so that someone who was inferior in power could control something superior to himself. And so he would be able to manipulate the bull or the ox with this yoke, this heavy wooden thing that could turn it from side to side. And this is a picture of not only the slavery that the Egyptians held the Hebrew people in, but it's also a picture of the slavery spiritually that many of us are in and have been in and struggle with. It is the picture of a dominating force exercising its influence over us. It's that inner feeling of, I know there's more. I know I can do better. I know there's something beyond what I can see, but something's restraining me and preventing me from being able to reach the things that I believe are possible. And so what I want to do real quickly is, I want to draw three parallels to the slavery that the Pharaoh held the Jewish people in, and contrast that with the spiritual slavery that we experience today. They're very, very, very similar. The first one is this: the Hebrew people, the Jewish people, they were forced as slaves to make bricks, to do something that they did not want to do, something they had no vote in. They were slaves. A word that you might use, a word that I've definitely used to describe this feeling of this pressure, this weight that's on us in life is, I feel trapped. I feel trapped. I think a lot of people understand the feeling of being trapped in a dead-end job, in a difficult situation, in a tough relationship, in something that you just, you don't know what's next. You don't know what you want to get out to, but you know that thing needs to stop and you want to break free from it. You don't know what's on the other side, but you know you're not as free as you could be in your mind and in your emotions and in your relationships and in all these important areas that we focus on. In a word, if you're taking notes, we feel enslaved. We feel stuck. We feel trapped. Some outside influence preventing us from living the life that we know God has promised. That's one way that we feel what they felt. The second one is the destruction of the next generation. Pharaoh was so intimidated and so insecure about the rapid rate at which the Hebrew people were growing He made a decree and a command that all of the male babies be thrown into the river, be killed. And forever, the enemy. There is an enemy to our soul. The Bible refers to him as the devil. He forever wants to do the same kind of thing. He wants to destroy the next generation. This is not a political statement. It is really rather a statement that you and I have all experienced. And it isn't anything other than when Pharaoh was doing that, what he was doing was he was destroying the potential of what could be by killing those who could affect change. See, we feel this at times when we're in hopeless situations, when we feel like there's no potential, we feel empty. We feel empty. We feel like, man, I don't know if there's any hope for me. And we're stuck and trapped and enslaved and feel this emptiness. The third thing that I see is Pharaoh was requiring them to collect their own straw. So not only did he expect them to make the bricks, he made a change. And he said, we're going to change things up. We used to deliver the straw to you. Now you got to go and get your own straw on top of your daily quota for life, on your top of your daily work output. Now you've got to do even more, because slavery wasn't enough. His aim was to make them feel exhausted. I wonder if anybody in here has ever felt the weight of exhaustion in life. Let me go a little further. How many of you ever finished a work week and just kind of thought, I don't even need food. I don't need to be around anybody. I don't need the TV. All I need is a pillow so I can lay my head down and rest tonight. Anybody ever been there? Well, let me get all of you on this one. How many of y'all have ever been on vacation and you come home and you need a vacation after your vacation? Exhaustion. It's a tool that the enemy still uses on us to get us busy chasing the things that we think are important. Listen. It isn't the busyness that exhausts us. It is the activity disconnected from any purpose that causes us to feel exhaustion. Burnout comes when we just run around, when we're just on that hamster wheel of life and so on and so forth. So my wife and my kids, they've all been encouraging me to work out and get in better shape, and I'm doing my best. But there's one thing I try not to do whenever possible, and that is to get on the treadmill. Can I get an amen from some lazy person out there today? Come on. Why don't I want to be on that treadmill? Because it is the human version of the gerbil wheel, y'all. You on that thing spinning away and you're not going no place. Right? You're just stuck. And that's how exhaustion impacts our soul. So somebody says, what does this have to do with Easter? Well, I told you, number one, I'm Tom Petty, not John Mayer. So let me get this through. In John, here's what Jesus said. I tell you most solemnly that anyone who chooses a life of sin is trapped in a dead-end life. And is in fact a slave. A slave is a transient who can't come and go at will. A person who doesn't get to choose their own destiny. A person who doesn't make their own decisions. That some external thing is compelling us to do something we don't want to do. A life that feels like it's out of control. And what this has to do with Easter is we celebrate today that Jesus was raised from the dead, and thereby fulfilling his first and greatest promise that all of these attributes of life that make you feel enslaved, that make you feel empty, that cause you to feel exhausted, they all, every single one of them has been resolved through the power of the cross and the power of the resurrection. You see, it's the resurrection of Jesus that makes the news good. It's the resurrection of Jesus that makes the promises possible for you, for me, for us. It's what changes everything. Watch these verses. The thief comes only for these reasons, to steal and kill and destroy. And I've come that they may have life and they may have it to the full. Jesus says, the enemy wants to steal from you. He wants to kill you. He wants to put you underneath that weight of exhaustion and emptiness. But Jesus says this, he says, I want to come and give you life like abundantly, like you've never experienced before. That's what the resurrection of Jesus does. And here's what Paul says. It stands to reason, doesn't it? that if the alive and present God who raised Jesus from the dead moves into your life, he'll do the same thing in you that he did in Jesus, bringing you alive to himself. When God lives and breathes in you, and he does, as surely as he did in Jesus, you're delivered from that dead life, that old way, that stuck, trapped, enslaved way of living. With his spirit living in you, your body will be as alive as Christ. One more verse. Because Jesus was raised from the dead, we've been given a brand new life and everything to live for, including a future in heaven. And that future starts right now. So here's the deal. You may be up against a tremendous momentum of all of those feelings. You might say, you know what, Josh, I'm giving my heart to Jesus, but I'm still stuck in some stuff. You might be saying, I just came to church because grandmama promised me ham and potatoes and dessert. Come on, somebody. Come on. But I feel stuck. I feel stuck. Here's the good news. Today you can make a choice and you can go free. And that stuff that has forced you and been a dominating influence in your life, the power of the resurrection has the ability to destroy all of those things and give you a hope, restore your future, cause you to be on a path that you can forever make a difference for God, and he can make a difference for you. But how do we get here? How do we get stuck? I think it's an important question. I think that we get stuck for a lot of different reasons. Life just drifts. And what I mean by that is, I've been to the beach before. My family used to go to Myrtle Beach all the time. We stayed at the same hotel like every year for years. We'd set our blanket up and my mama would get one of those big umbrellas and we would just be hanging out, and every once in a while we'd get too hot and we'd go into the water. And invariably this would happen almost every time. We'd get in the water and we'd get messing around and we'd lose track of where we were. And so we'd turn around and we'd look to the shore, and the next thing we know, we're 2, 3, 4 resorts away from where my umbrella and our beach blankets were. Anybody ever done that before? That's the drift of life. Currents of life, you're just minding your own business. You're doing everything you know to do, and life just pulls us sometimes in a direction. Sometimes tragedy comes. Sometimes difficulty comes. Sometimes people show up. And they wreck your day. Maybe you've been hurt by a church person, by a church. Can I just tell you, I have too. I've been there. I don't walk around with the wound of that. But can I tell you something? Church people can be mean, y'all. We can be mean, and I get that. But people who aren't church people can be mean. Just people are just mean sometimes. I've always wanted to do this, but I've never had the courage. Somebody suggested when we move into a new building, I do this message series. I've been wanting to do this message series for a long time. Off the country song. God's great, beer's good, and people are crazy. If I do that series, you all come back. All right, we'll see. People make life hard. How do we get here? A whole bunch of different things. And we could explore that all day. I think the important question, though, the even more important question is not just how do we get here, how do we get out? And I want to take a couple minutes and tell you how we can get out. Because that's what he promises. He says, I'm going to bring you out. I'm going to bring you out from under the difficulty of this. In your notes, the first step to get out is to make the move. The Bible word there, I would use the phrase make the move. The word the Bible uses is repentance. And it's a good word. It just means to change. It just means to change. Look at this verse. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promises, as some understand slowness. Can I just pause right there? And can I just tell you that I get really impatient, and God approves himself to be much slower than I wish he was on a regular basis. And this verse reminds me of that. It's not how you understand it, Josh. But instead, you're not being patient with God. He's being patient with you. How many know somebody that God's being patient with? How many are sitting next to that person right now? Come on. Not wanting anyone to perish, but wanting everyone to come to repentance. And here's what the word means. It means to change. It just means to change. To make a change. My wife and I, when we graduated Bible school, I was pumped, man. I was like, here we go. We got all this knowledge. We got all this stuff. We got the diploma. We're ready to rock and roll. Maybe, and I was telling my wife all leading up to it, maybe we are going to go out of this place like a ball of fire, and we are going to change the entire world. It's not going to be too long. We're going to change this whole world. And I walked out of that convention center after getting that diploma, and here's what I realized. Changing the world is hard work. Difficult. I thought, well, maybe we can just change the United States. And I found out that's maybe even harder. Well, what about Ohio? Maybe we can just change the Buckeye State. You know, maybe we can just change the Buckeye State and change Ohio. And I'm like, man, it's taking a lot longer than I thought. I thought we could do this in a couple weekends, and it's proven out to be quite a chore. How about our city? How about our county? Maybe we can just jump in and make a move and we can make a change there. And man, it's been like 15 years and still working and still going, and we've made some progress. And one day this thought came to me. Hey, Josh, instead of trying to change the world, instead of trying to change America, instead of trying to change your state and your city, how about you just start with you? And how about you just work on changing you and start there? How many know it's a lot easier to manage and criticize other people's lives and much more difficult to manage your own life? Isn't it funny how we become experts at managing other people's lives and what moves they need to make? Now, you need to do this, 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 and this. And all the while, Jesus kind of talked about this. He said, don't worry about the speck of dust in your friend's eye. You've got a great big huge 2x4 hanging out of yours. Why don't you take care of that first? Make the move. Make a change. Like, it's up to you. You have a choice. There's stuff in your world that's going on. You can change it with God's help. He promised, I'm going to bring you out. But listen, it's your move, not his. The resurrection reminds us that he's already made the greatest move ever in the history of the world. He rolled away the stone and walked out from death, hell, and the grave over into life and conquered every enemy that you and I would ever face. It's not his move. He made his move. It's your move. It's my move. We got to make the move. Number two, how do we get out? We got to let it go. Talk back to me. How many of you just heard the Frozen theme in your head when I said that? I hate that, but it happens. The Bible word is this, it's surrender. How many of you are parents of toddler age kids? Can I see your hands real quick? How many of you are grandparents to toddler age kids? How many of you used to be a toddler? My kids, when they were toddlers, I had a big lesson in parenting really early. They would sometimes get things, sharp objects, candy, different things that I didn't want them to have. And I learned really quickly the first time they got a hold of one of these things, how difficult it is to get something out of the hand of a toddler that they don't want to turn loose of. Like it seems like it's to be an E. I thought about if we could get a toddler up here and one of y'all to demonstrate this, it's amazing how that little person makes an adult person look like they are clean out their mind when they're trying to get something. Like my kids, they'd have something in their hand and they'd pull out this like ninja calisthenic stuff and you could not get that object out of their hand. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Here's what I learned. You're not going to get something out of their hand until they're ready to let it go. And the same is true for us. Larry, let me see that if you don't mind. I'm going to demonstrate it this way. How much do you think that microphone weighs? How much do you think it weighs? Just talk. Somebody give me a guess. 2 pounds. Anybody else? 5 pounds. 3. Y'all are much better guessers. The Sunrise Service, somebody thought that thing weighed 20 pounds. They had not had enough caffeine. I'm telling you that right now. Let's say it weighs 2 pounds. The weight of it does not matter. Not really. It's not the weight of something, it's the length of time in which you hold it that really has the biggest factor on your muscle resistance. Because after so long, it doesn't matter how much or how little it weighs, eventually my arm is not going to be able to sustain the weight of what it is, just for the sheer fact and reality that time wins. Time wins. And so the same is true with the stress and the pressures and the things that we feel in life. We will deal with difficulty until we decide we're going to let that thing go. And eventually, if you don't choose to let it go, by paralysis or some other form of inertia being overtaking you, you're going to drop that thing. So here's my question for you. If eventually you have to let it go, then why not just choose now to be the moment that you turn loose of it so that you can experience all the joy and the satisfaction from here to there rather than just holding on to that thing that is not going to help you from here to there. Just go ahead and enjoy that gap of time here and now by surrendering it to God. Amen. Thanks, Larry. Let me tell you a real quick story about Larry. I've been working out with Larry. Yeah, you should be sorry. Here's the good news, though. Now I have leverage because if he works me too hard, he's done. You know what I mean? He's fired. We were working out one day on this whole idea of letting things go, and this has nothing to do with the message. Just bear with me. Let me tell you the story. He worked us out so hard. When I went home to clean up and get a shower, I was so sore. Just like 30 minutes later, I could not even wash my hair without taking a break, y'all. I was like starting, and my arms just gave out. They disobeyed me. Anybody ever had that happen before? Like I was trying to wash my hands, like throw, just flat hurt me. The third step, here's the last one. Let me read this verse to you in Mark. Anyone who intends to come with me has to let me lead. You're not in the driver's seat. I am. Don't run from suffering. Embrace it. Follow me and I'll show you how. Self-help is no help at all. Self-sacrifice is the way. My way to saving yourself, your true self. The third step on how to get out, the last one. I'm almost done. Give me a couple minutes. Make a commitment. And the Bible word here is relationship. So we make a move and we change. We repent. We change our mind about the thing. We make that move. We decide this is out of my control. I can't handle it on my own. I'm going to let it go. I'm going to surrender. And the last one is I'm going to make a commitment. I'm going to make a commitment. And these are the steps necessary to enjoy and embrace and experience the promise that God made of. I'm going to bring you out. Man, I don't know if I'm saying this as well as I should or could, but I just want you to know that there is more to this life than you've experienced, and you're one decision away from being brought out of those things that have had you trapped and stuck. And I want you to get there. Look at this verse. Just as you used to offer yourself as slaves to impurity and to ever-increasing wickedness. We started off talking about slavery. You're stuck. You used to be committed and stuck to these things. So now, here's the offer. Here's the plea. Offer yourself as slaves to righteousness, leading you to holiness. There's choices in front of you. And I want to make sure these choices are really, really clear before I close. You can take your notes and put them off to the side because we're through with them. I want you to have your full attention. If you don't have to move over the next 3 minutes, just give me like 3 minutes or so. Nobody moving around. Just let me have your attention. Because I think right now there are four choices in front of you. And here they are as I see them. There's a promise in front of you for God to bring you out. To bring you out of that pain, out of the shame, out of the guilt, out of the things that you've been wrestling with. The addiction, the difficulty, the relational challenges, the financial pain, the pain of the loss of a loved one, a child that you just don't know how to help anymore. Stuff that you don't know what to do with. You have some choices. I believe with all my heart God's the way out. He promised to get you out. But you have a choice. And I'd be remiss. I wouldn't be serving you well if I didn't tell you all the choices. One choice for you is this. I don't ever intend to give my life to God. I don't need him in my life. I don't need him, and I don't want him. I think it's the worst choice in front of you today, and I hope no one leaves here making that choice. You don't have to. There are better choices on the table. There are better promises with better conclusions. See, can I just tell you this? Without the resurrection of Jesus, none of us come out. We're all stuck. And I don't want that for you. I want to ask you to begin a journey. The second choice is this. It's progressively better, but not the best. I'm not ready to follow Jesus, but I'll revisit the idea. I'm not quite there, Josh. I hear what you're saying, but I need some more time to explore. I understand that, and it's a real choice in front of you. And if this is the choice that you're in, here's what I'm asking. Get into a place where you can explore. Don't just say you're going to explore and never take another step. Make a move. It's your choice. No pressure on your life. We'd love for you to go on that spiritual journey with us. Third choice is a really great one. And this choice is the one that I hope many of you take today if you haven't already. I need a fresh beginning today. I'm ready, and I need Jesus to bring me out. I need to drink from this cup of promise that you talked about today. I need out. I maybe don't know everything I need to know, but I just know this. I'm stuck and I need out. I'm trapped. I'm a slave to things that I don't want to be a slave to. And the good news for you today is this. You don't have to be a slave anymore to those things. You can come out. The last choice many of you have already made. I know, I'm certain that I'm a Christian. I've made Jesus the Lord of my life. And Jesus has already brought me out. Here's what I'm going to ask you to do. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes. And I'm just going to ask you to focus on this last story, and I'm through. And I'm going to bring you to a point where you can have the opportunity to make a decision if you'd like. My wife and I, our very first job, I just want you to picture this. I want you to think about it and let it be a mental picture for you. My wife and I, our very first job as teenagers was in an assisted living facility. It was really nice, and there were all kinds of people from varying backgrounds, different health situations, different walks of life. It was really amazing. There was a couple there that the wife had succumbed to Alzheimer's. And her husband came to the dining room, and I was waiting on him, and he was really frantic and in a hurry. He said, I'm going to be late. You've got to hurry. You got to help me. I have an appointment. Standing appointment with my wife that we've kept for years and years and years. And I got down here. I lost track of time, and I cannot be late. Will you hurry up and get my food? And I said, yeah, man, I'll do my best. And when I brought the food, he was really in a hurry. And I said, sir, I don't mean this in any disrespectful way at all, but I know your wife's condition. She won't know if you're late. I said, sir, does she even remember who you are? Not the smartest thing to say, but I was a teenage kid. I didn't know any better. And I'll never forget his response. And he looked at me and he said this, Josh. He said, Josh, she may not know me, but I know her. And I'm going to keep my promise. Walked out of that dining room to spend time with his wife. Here's what I want you to know. You may not know him yet, but he knows you. He knew you'd be here in this moment. You may not know him, but he knows you. And he wants to keep his promise to you. He's ready, willing, and able with a strong and mighty arm to bring you out. Bring you out of that situation, out of that challenge, out of that condition, out of that thing that you've begged and pleaded and negotiated for to be changed. My prayer for you is that today you make a decision, you make a choice that you're going to come out. With heads bowed and eyes closed, here's what I want to ask. How many would say this? Josh, I'm in that third category. I'm ready. I'm ready for a fresh start. I'm ready for God to bring me out. I'm ready to experience the promise of this cup. I'm ready to accept what God has said about my life. I'm ready to take full advantage of what He's done for me. Because here's what I need you to know. He did for you, He did for me what I could not do for myself. He made it possible for this promise to be fulfilled and for you to come out. With heads bowed and eyes closed, I'm not going to ask you to stand to your feet. I'm not going to ask you to come down front. This is a decision between you and God. Water baptism is when we believe you say this in public. This is between you and Him and me. And I'm going to ask you online, in our video experience room, right here in this room, if you don't know Him and you're ready to choose Him, you're ready to experience this promise for Him to bring you out. With heads bowed and eyes closed, nobody's looking around, you say, yeah, Josh, that's me. I'm ready for that. What I want you to do is I want you to throw your hand up right in the air, right where you're seated, right now. Go ahead and put it up. Thank you. Thank you, young man. Thank you, lady. Thank you, sir. I see you. Anybody else? Thank you. Anybody else join these ones? Say, right now, that's me. I need to make this choice. I want to accept this promise. I want to receive this promise. Thank you. I see you in the back for you. Thank you. I see you, sir, in the back. Yep. Thank you, buddy. I see you right there. Good for you. Thank you, young lady. That's great. I got you. So proud of you. Anybody else join these 6, 7, 8 people? Say, yep, that's me. I'm not going to ask you to get out of your seat. I'm not going to ask you to do anything like that. I don't want to embarrass you in any way. I just want you to know where you will spend eternity and that you can leave this place knowing you'll spend eternity with Him. Anybody else? Right quick. I'm looking around. Okay, good for you, buddy. Lastly, you say this. You say, Josh, I'm in the category that says, I'm not ready, but I'm going to think about it. And I'm going to revisit the idea in the future. I'm going to make that decision. If that's you, say, not quite there yet. I hear what you're saying, but I want to explore a little bit more. If that's you right now, would you just let me know with an uplifted hand and say, yep, Josh, that's me. I'm going to think about it a little bit more. Anybody say that? Okay. All right. Could we do this together with those who just made a decision? Say, I'm ready to come out. Can you please join me? We're gonna all pray together. I'm gonna lead us. I'm just gonna ask you to repeat after me. Everybody loud and strong from your heart, say this out loud. Repeat after me and say this. Say, dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for your Son. Thank you that He died for me. Thank you that He was raised from the dead just for me. I believe in my heart and I say with my mouth that Jesus is Lord. I turn from my sin and I turn to your Son, and I'll follow Him all the days of my life. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Would you help me celebrate with those who made a decision?
Thank you for joining us today. We pray that you have been blessed through the teaching of God's Word. This resource is generously supported by More Life Church and listeners like you. We would like to give you the opportunity to partner with us to impact the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. To give or to learn more about More Life Church, visit our website at morelifechurch.com.